You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus. All month on the podcast, we've been getting you ready for the 2018 NFL Draft, but today we're locked on Cameron Meredith, because the Chicago Bears opted not to match the offer sheet that the Saints signed to the young wide receiver, and now Cameron Meredith is headed to New Orleans. So of course, we're going to break down every angle of this decision, what it means for the team moving forward to the draft, what it could mean for Kevin White, what it means for Ryan Pace, and really what all went into this decision. I want to start with the facts and some of the hard numbers we know right now for everything that went into this Cameron Meredith situation, and make sure we're all on the same page before we kind of pick apart some of the potential reasoning behind some of these decisions. So the Bears tendered Cameron Meredith at an original round restricted free agent tender, which was set to pay him $1.9 million in 2018, essentially as a one-year deal, and then he would enter unrestricted free agency next offseason. Now, the original round tender, of course, gives the Bears the right to match any contract offer sheet that he would sign with another team, but if the Bears declined to match an offer sheet, which eventually did happen, then the Bears get no compensation because the original round that Cameron Meredith was drafted, well, he was undrafted, and so there's no compensation for an original round tender. The Bears could have given Cam Meredith a second round tender, would have been worth $2.9 million instead of the $1.9 million that the original round tender was worth. That would have given the Bears the same right to match, and if they had declined, the other team would have owed the Bears a second round pick. So the Bears use the original round tender on Meredith. He kind of goes out, has a visit with the Colts, visits with the Ravens, visits with the Saints, and then the Saints agree to a two-year, $9.6 million deal with $5.4 million guaranteed for Cam Meredith. And I think most of the Chicago Bears journalists, analysts, and even fans on Twitter, everyone kind of saw that deal and thought, not a bad move for the Bears. You know, you match that, you get Cameron Meredith for 2 years on a pretty reasonable contract, a contract worth less than the Bears paid Marcus Wheaton last year, and you have him locked in for 2 years instead of one, and if he performs at a very high level, you're getting 2 years of cheap, high productive wide receiver play, and it seemed like a easy decision for the Bears to match that. Instead, they wait the full 5 days and decline the deal, and it raised some question marks. And, you know, Adam Schefter from ESPN, he was the one to break the news, and he kind of put out there that this was more a medical decision than a financial decision for the Bears, which I think adds an interesting dynamic to this. His exact quote was that Chicago's decision to not match offer sheet was mainly a medical decision. Meredith is coming off of a torn ACL and MCL, and Bears were hesitant to commit that much to a player coming off such a serious knee injury. Now, there's a couple dimensions to that. One, Cameron Meredith did tear both ligaments in his knee, which is different than the injury that Allen Robinson suffered, which was just a torn ACL. And there is inherently more risk in both ligaments being torn and having that recover properly and up to a full strength level that could get Cameron Meredith back to the player that he was pre-injury. And really, the one team in the NFL that knows more than any of the others about how Meredith's recovery is going is the Chicago Bears. I mean, the New Orleans Saints obviously did some digging and felt confident enough to make this offer, but the Bears and Ryan Pace are really the ones that know exactly how Meredith is coming along. And, you know, Cameron Meredith was on ESPN Chicago, I think it was the Waddle and Sylvie show, and they asked him a little bit about the decision and the recovery for his knee injury. He said, you know, an opportunity like this isn't presented to a lot of people. He's excited to go play with a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback and play in a high-flying Saints offense. He also said he hasn't had any setbacks with his knee injuries, and he didn't think any setbacks were going to be a real concern. But as far as I'm aware, he said he doesn't have exactly a timetable just yet for when he's going to be 100% and when he's going to be able to get back into football activities. And so you can see where the Saints have quite a bit of risk in this move and where the Bears might have some knowledge as to why they might pass on this. But for me, I don't know if this still quite all adds up. And so next on the podcast, we're going to get into this whole restricted free agent tender situation and try and look at some of the logic here as to why the original round tender was used and then the contract was not matched, despite one potentially inviting the other. That's up next on Locked On Bears. We're talking through the Cameron Meredith restricted free agency situation today on Locked On Bears. And I have to say, I'm scratching my head a little bit here. You might remember back when the Bears made this tender, we talked right here on this very podcast sort of about the decision making. And I personally felt the difference between an original round and a second round tender wouldn't end up being that big of a deal because the logic behind the situation would seem to be you offer Cameron Meredith an original round tender because you essentially want a team to offer him and agree to an offer sheet because teams aren't going to give Cam Meredith a contract offer if you give him that second round tender. I don't think you're going to find NFL teams that are willing to give up a second round pick and a new contract to a player coming off of this serious of a knee injury that only has 1 year of production under his belt. So when the Bears made the original round tender offer to Cameron Meredith, the thought process immediately was trying to figure out why the Bears would do so. And it would seem to a lot of people in the Bears community that you offer Cameron Meredith the original round tender because you're inviting teams to sign him to an offer sheet. You're saying you want to find out what Cameron Meredith's market is going to be. Maybe you aren't 100% sure about this knee injury, and so you wanted to put out there and see if other teams are willing to pay and how much they'd be willing to pay to sign this player with a high ceiling, still 25 years old, a converted quarterback, still even mastering the wide receiver position, and has shown high-level potential with, you know, size, speed, route running, a lot of the things you want out of the wide receiver position. And so he's an intriguing player with a difficult market to try and get a feel for. So the original round tender opens up the possibility for other teams to offer your player. And the idea there being that you want to sign Cameron Meredith to a long-term deal just at a low contract dollar to get the most value per dollar for your young receiver. And so you open him up to sign an offer sheet because no team is going to sign him to a one-year offer sheet, at least in theory. And if they are going to sign him to an offer sheet, chances are it's not going to be an incredibly expensive contract because of all the risk that we've been talking about with Cameron Meredith. And so you sign him to the original round tender. You let him sign an offer sheet somewhere if he wants to, if he wants to get a multi-year deal, or, you know, there was always a chance that Cam Meredith just wanted 1 year, play, perform at a high level, and hit free agency again next year. Instead, you let him go out, he gets the offer sheet, and in theory, if that offer sheet comes in at a reasonable price for this player that would be below the top market value he could get if he has a big season, then you would match that and get 2 years of cheap Cam Meredith potentially performing like a wide receiver that could be making double even what his contract would be paying him. And so you could kind of see it from Ryan Pace's perspective that, yeah, that could be a smart financial move. You get Cameron Meredith on 2 years of a pretty cheap contract instead of just one on the restricted free agent tender. And at that point, if you're planning to match a low contract offer, then you don't even need to do the second round tender. You do the original round tender to get that 2 years instead of just keeping him at 1 year because, again, no one's going to offer on the second round tender. So you do original round tender to fish for a contract offer sheet from another team at a reasonable price that you would match to keep Cameron Meredith under contract for multiple years at an inexpensive dollar amount, sort of assuming that he's going to get back to high levels of production and outproduce the multi-year contract that you sign him to instead of having him on that one-year tender. So then when the Saints come out with this two-year, $9.6 million contract, that seemed to me and a lot of Bears fans and analysts like exactly what Ryan Pace wanted to happen. And I think some people were trying to spin that as everyone just justifying the decision that Ryan Pace made. But you could kind of see the long strategy here, that if Cameron Meredith gets that reasonable offer sheet, then you sign him. You have him for 2 years at under $5 million a year instead of 1 year at the original round tender. And then if you have to sign him to a big contract extension after a big year, you're looking at $10 million plus for that second year. So from a financial standpoint, it would make more sense to have Cameron Meredith play on this two-year deal from the Saints than to have him play on a one-year deal in Chicago and then get a big contract extension and potentially pay him a lot more. And so you can kind of see now why it's a head-scratcher that Ryan Pace doesn't match this contract. 2 years, $9.6 million with $5.4 million guaranteed. That's not breaking the bank. You know, the Bears have $30-ish million in cap space still heading for this offseason. And even if you take 10 of that for the draft and undrafted free agents, you still have a lot of room to work with here. The cash was not the reason. As Adam Schefter tried to say, it all came down to this health decision versus the financial decision. So that's where I again come back to this tender thing. If the Bears were willing to pay Cameron Meredith $2 million to have him here for a one-year deal with all of these health concerns in place, then A, why were they not willing to pay him 2 years and $9.6 million with these health concerns in place? Or B, why were they not just willing to pay him the second round tender for $2.9 million for 1 year? Why is Cameron Meredith worth keeping around for 1 year, $1.9 million on the original round tender, and not worth keeping around for 2 years, $9.6 million, or 1 year, $2.9 million on the second round tender? You know what I mean? Like if you were concerned about his medical being something that keeps you from wanting him here long term, why would you original round tender him and put himself out there to be signed to a multi-year deal by another team? If you were so concerned about multi-year for Cameron Meredith, then you would have just used the second round tender for one more $1 million and not have had him get any offer sheets. Or if he does get an offer sheet, then you get a damn second round pick. But instead, you see neither side of the proper decision making here. That either you give him the original round offer sheet so you can match a reasonably priced contract, or you're not confident in his knee, so you give him the second round tender and you don't have other offer sheets come in, and you just get him on that 1 year deal that isn't gonna lock you into big guaranteed money and allows you to get one more year of Cam Meredith to see if he can get back to that high level of play. So you can see where that original round tender originally seemed like a smart idea, assuming it had the contingency of the Bears are going to match any reasonably priced offer that Cameron Meredith receives. That obviously didn't happen, and so now that original round tender decision seemed poor, and you know, we felt like Ryan Pace was thinking two steps ahead here. And you give the original round tender, maybe it looks bad, but you come out ahead because you match him at a reasonably priced contract and you get him for 2 years instead of one at a below market value contract. Instead, Ryan Pace looks like he made a big mistake, doesn't get to keep his young wide receiver that he found as an undrafted free agent, developed him for the last couple years, and had seen him through this ACL injury up until this point, had him back on the tender, seemed to want him back in this team. I believe last offseason he called Cameron Meredith the team's number one wide receiver. Now he's gone, the Bears get no compensation, and that original round tender looks like a mistake because it didn't have the second step of the longer plan to get Cameron Meredith back on a reasonable contract. Like I said, the injury and the medical thing, it just doesn't fully add up to me because they wanted him back on the one-year deal anyway, on the one-year original round tender for $1.9 million. So if the injury had been that big of a concern, they wanted him back at that price, but didn't want him back at the $2.9 million price. And the $1 million difference when you have $30 million in cap space isn't making a big deal. So there's just not quite enough logic here to point to why the Bears gave him the original round tender and then didn't match him at a pretty reasonable contract from the New Orleans Saints. But what's done is done. Cameron Meredith plays elsewhere. He is no longer a Chicago Bear. And so next on the podcast, we're going to look at what's next. We'll look at how this affects the Bears wide receiver core and what this could mean for the 2018 NFL draft. Stick with us on Locked On Bears. We're talking through this Cameron Meredith situation today on the podcast, and now we're looking ahead to the future because all of a sudden this wide receiver group on the Chicago Bears starting to look questionable again. You know, it felt like Meredith was kind of that last piece to go with Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel to kind of give you some comfort with your top three wide receivers. Instead, we're looking at two guys on your roster right now that you really can be okay with contributing regularly on offense. And when you're trying to be this Matt Nagy type style, I know people are banking on Nagy being able to get more out of less talent because of scheme, because of how he can do route combinations and passing concepts and motion and everything that he did so well in Kansas City. But you do need a certain baseline of talent. And right now it's Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, and everybody else. My first thought when this news came through was whether or not this sends a message about Kevin White and how the Bears feel about him. Because clearly there's some room here now for White to be a little bit more in the rotation. You know, he's never been a big special teams guy. So if he's not one of your top three receivers, he needs to be playing special teams. And he might not be long for this 53-man roster. But now all of a sudden, there is a spot for him. And I don't think it's smart team building if you're going into training camp thinking Kevin White's going to be one of your top three receivers, because he's been in the NFL for, what, going into his fourth year now, and he has shown no ability to do so. So I hope the plan isn't for Kevin White to have a significant role. That opportunity has been opened up a little bit more here, and maybe the Bears are confident that he can be a role player in this offense. I mean, I don't think anyone there is billing him as a number one type wide receiver, but maybe with Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel, they can take some pressure off of Kevin White. Certainly, I think the spotlight's still going to be on him, and I personally am not ready to count on Kevin White for any type of contribution. I'm not ready to lock him onto the 53-man roster yet, but this could be some indication of some increased level of confidence in his game that might be more than we have on the outside. But of course, there's still the NFL draft, and I think that's where a lot of attention is going to be turned once again for this wide receiver position. You know, it's funny, like before free agency, Calvin Ridley was in a lot of mock drafts for the Chicago Bears at the 8th overall pick. They sign Allen Robinson, they sign Taylor Gabriel, they get an offer sheet for Cameron Meredith, and all of a sudden, wide receivers aren't very high in Chicago Bears mock drafts. I think it might have been a little bit of an overreaction both ways, but we're back to wide receiver being one of the bigger needs on this roster. I still put it behind offensive line, in my opinion. I think that left guard spot slash center, if you're going to put Cody Whitehair at left guard, that interior offensive line plus your right tackle position really is still priority number one for me. But I think number two right now is wide receiver, because they just need more talent there. And I just hope Calvin Ridley is not the pick at the 8th overall spot. I just don't see him as a top 10 wide receiver. I know he didn't have a great quarterback and the production wasn't exactly there, but that's not really what overall concerns me about Calvin Ridley. I'm just not sold on him really being that difference maker. You know, he seems like a reasonable number two wide receiver, and I think he'll have a fine NFL career. But if I'm taking a wide receiver in the top 10 of the NFL draft, I need a guy that has a sky-high ceiling that can really be a game-changing, difference-making wide receiver for me. And Calvin Ridley, I just don't know if he has that total elite athleticism or elite playmaking ability with the ball in his hands. You know, he isn't as great at the catch point as I'd like to see. You know, he's not as strong. He's not as physical. He's not a track type athlete. You know, he's got good size and he's got good speed and he runs good routes. And that's a good NFL wide receiver. But if I'm picking in the top 10 of the NFL draft, I'm not taking the 23-year-old that might have the high floor but doesn't have the high ceiling. Give me a player who's going to be a 10-year difference maker on my roster. There is not a wide receiver in this draft that does that. So for me, I'm not taking a wide receiver in the first round unless I trade down. I'm hoping that somebody falls to 39 if I'm the Chicago Bears. I'm a big fan of DJ Moore in this draft. I think he's a playmaker with the ball in his hands. I think Cortland Sutton has some of that untapped potential as a pretty athletic guy. Not a huge fan of like James Washington from Oklahoma State. I think he's an elite deep ball wide receiver. But I have a lot of question marks about the other aspects of his game. You know, working underneath, making plays after the catch with the ball in his hand. Even some of the more nuanced technique in route running. I think he's a little bit of a one-trick pony right now, and I'm not ready to invest a high draft pick in that. You know, I think there's some good second to third tier wide receivers, and that might be exactly what the Bears need to match with Allen Robinson. So in that sense, it's not a terrible year to have a wide receiver need like this. It's not a good year to need a number one, but the Bears don't necessarily need a true number one. They could use one. But with Allen Robinson in the building, they just need that Cameron Meredith type piece, which again makes the Cameron Meredith decision that much more difficult to understand. And I have a feeling the Bears are going to end up waiting until the third day of the draft, unless they pick up a third round pick, but probably you're looking fourth, fifth round maybe before they end up taking a wide receiver, just kind of how this board might fall. You might see it in the second round if one of these potential first round talent type guys can fall out, but I have a feeling it might be until the fourth, fifth round before we see the Bears pull the trigger on a wide receiver. And so next week on the podcast, we're going to try and talk day three wide receivers. I've got a guest in mind. I still need to lock him in for a day and time, but hopefully we will have some really top-notch, in-depth analysis from the one man who I think can provide draft analysis on wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, and quarterbacks like no one else in this industry. He's been on this podcast before. I'll leave that as enough of a teaser. Still need to lock down a time, but we should have the most in-depth analysis of day three wide receivers that you can get on any podcast. And of course, we'll only be looking at the guys that would be great fits with the Chicago Bears. That and more draft analysis is coming your way next week on Locked On Bears. Be sure to hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast listening app it is that you use. Keep coming back for more Bears and NFL draft analysis. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook, follow Locked On Bears on Twitter, at Locked On Bears. It's a great way to keep up with all of our shows. Sometimes we tease future episodes. We got videos going out on there. All sorts of good stuff on the Locked On Bears social media feeds. Keep in touch on there. You can also follow me, Lauren Cox, on Twitter, at CoxSports1. So listen, if you need to pour one out for Cameron Meredith, you can do so. But now he's playing for the New Orleans Saints, and so he doesn't get to bear down.